First of all, could I request the brothers to please come forward as we are anticipating quite a few more people to come. Please come forward, brothers, in our prayer. The man has asked that I ask him to pray for his name, and that on his kindness of the people that we name on the First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for coming to this program, and also our special guest that will accept our invitation, namely Sheikh Ahmed Issa, that everybody I'm sure knows, Sheikh Riyadul Haqsal from Leicester, and Ismail Adam Patel, who's the founder of Mushkil al-Arab, who's the founder of Friends of Al-Aqsa. He has also come down from Leicester, and inshallah, Sheikh al-Hadith of Zakaria ibn Aziz Khalifa and our respected Ustaz Maulana Hashim Sam, who unfortunately due to his ill health can't come to the hall right now. He'll be coming late from more towards the end of the program, but we've made arrangements for him nearby. So inshallah he'll be coming also. And of course again, I thank everybody else for participating here. Now, this program has been set up here in Masjid al-Quba, but it's been held and organized by Friends of Al-Aqsa, Radford Branch. Now, the reason why I wanted to make that clear is because everybody knows and we are all concerned about the affairs of Masjid al-Aqsa and also on the broader side, generally, of Palestine as well and the things that are happening right now. Probably even as we speak, we know that Masjid al-Aqsa at the moment is under threat. Some time ago, some youth approached myself regarding their concern and that they wanted to have a program regarding Masjid al-Aqsa to raise awareness. And I saw that these youth, mashallah, were very fervent, and they had a lot of fervor in them, and they had a lot of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen as well within them. And I asked them that, listen, if we have this program, it's going to be a one-off program, and as we notice, many times what happens is in the desert area, if a few horses just quickly run by, what happens? The dust will all lift up and then it all settles down again. I said to them that this is exactly what's going to happen with this one-off speech that we do. Rather than doing it this way, what if we get together and form under the umbrella branch of, under the main branch of Friends of Al-Aqsa Leicester, another group of them over here. And inshallah, we won't just organize one event, we'll carry on organizing events time and time again. Because, for obvious reasons, that it can stay at the forefront of our mind, and we will constantly stay aware of this. So, alhamdulillah, those brothers accepted. And then, from there, we went over to Leicester. And we took some time from Ismail Adam Patel, and we explained to him our intentions, and alhamdulillah, he supported us all the way. And it's a result of all that, the sincere intentions of those handful of brothers that had come approximately a year ago, that inshallah today this event has been organized. We also made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this and similar different kind of events will also take place in the near future. So I'm hoping that everybody here, especially the people of Bradford, supports this branch, Friends of Al-Aqsa Bradford. Now, I would like to call upon Qari Junaid Sir, who inshallah do some tilawat of the Quran Park, and inshallah, of course, that is the most beneficial of all Quran. So I would respect everybody. I would ask everybody, request everybody to listen to the Quran Kareem with utmost love, aqidat, and humbleness, and inshallah, we may God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit us all from this time.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. إنه هو السميع البصير. وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام.
الله الله الله.
من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. إنه السميع البصير. وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا. وقضينا لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا. فإذا جاء Yeah. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر
actually wrote a poem titled Render a Land Called Palestine. And inshallah, that will be read out to us, inshallah, by the Mount of Parnassus. And then after that, we will have. We'll come to the end of our program, and inshallah, the Mawlana Hashim Sahib will come forward. And I'm hoping that he will also give us one or two words of advice on what to do, because that's the main issue. It's okay to first. The first thing that we have to do is get the knowledge and the importance and the love into our heart. If we've got these things, then after that, our next step will be actually working towards this effect and towards the cause as well. Inshallah, after that, we'll have the Mawlana Hashim Sahib. But before I call this webinar, I've just got two small things to remind all of us about. Is that, alhamdulillah, you must have noticed that around the back we have a stall, and inshallah, also on the sister side is a similar stall. On there, there's approximately 20 odd leaflets, all regarding different issues of Palestine. And so I'd like everybody to, inshallah, take a copy of that each and read upon it as well. Once you're ready, pass it on to others. And also, inshallah, at the end, our brother, the volunteers, will be giving out these leaflets called the Pledge 100 leaflets. Inshallah, that will be explained to you again in detail afterwards. So I would like now to call upon Peyran Yaqub Akubat for the Palestinian community.
فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے اس کا ہر ایک ذرہ ہمیں جان سے پیارا ہے اس کا ہر ایک ذرہ ہمیں جان سے پیارا ہے فلسطین 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 ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے دلہا کی قربانی خالی نہ جائے گی دلہا کی قربانی خالی نہ جائے گی ایمان کے جلووں سے یہ فضا تھلائے گی ایمان کی چیخوں سے یہ فضا تھلائے گی ہر ایک فلسطینی کی دعا رنگ لائے گی فلسطین ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے ہم مسجد اقصا کو جادے کے بچائے گے ہم مسجد اقصا کو جادے کے بچائیں گے کفار کے ارادے کو ہم خوف میں ملائیں گے کفار کے ارادے کو ہم خوف میں ملائیں گے ہر ایک فلسطینی کی دعا رنگ لائے گی فلسطین ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے فلسطین ہمارا ہے اسے ہم نے سوارا ہے اس کا ہر ایک ذرہ ہمیں جان سے پیارا ہے فلسطین 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 ہمارا ہے
Subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely accept the du'as of the Palestinians as well. Well, it's very true that us sitting very far, we do feel for Palestine a lot. We do feel for Masjid al-Aqsa a lot. But what's going through the hearts of those people only they know. Sometimes we wonder, we go to our houses, and it really is heart-rendering that we can be such a lack of luxury. And yet, when we think back exactly what is happening over there, it's hard to even understand fully. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Palestinians even more stronger. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us also to help them as much as possible for this cause.
Amen.
Now, next, it's very important that we learn exactly what Masjid al-Aqsa is all about. We learn what our beloved Prophet ﷺ has taught us regarding its virtues and its significance as well. Many people that still don't seem to know exactly which part is the Dome of the Rock, which part is Masjid al-Aqsa, which part is it that the Jews or the Zionists, the extremists, are trying to get hold of right now. But inshallah, all these things we hope will be definitely clarified and cleared up today by the speakers that are coming. Right now, inshallah, we might now like to call upon Sheikh Ahmed Ali, who will talk us to talk about the history and the significance of Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد قال سبحانه وتعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال سبحانه وتعالى ونجيناه ولوطا إلى الأرض التي باركنا فيها للعالمين وقال سبحانه وتعالى يا قوم ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. My respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers, my sisters and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by thanking the Friends of Al-Aqsa in Bradford and yourselves for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these efforts of yours in listening to this message, taking this message home, and conveying it to those our brothers and sisters to whom Allah did not give the tawfiq to participate in this blessed gathering. And the most important thing is But whatever we learn from this lectures today, we try our utmost best to bring the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our daily lives. As I pray to the Almighty Allah, that Allah give me the tawfiq to say what is haq, what is right. And Allah first give me the tawfiq to act upon the message that I convey to others. Before I begin, guys, I want you all to smile. Because Mawlana, Allah bless him, has been speaking for the last 10 minutes. But there was something different about him today. He's the imam of this masjid, but still, it seemed that he was very nervous. And I'm sitting there thinking, why is Mawlana nervous? This is his masjid. He's lecturing here every Friday. So I came to the conclusion, guys, it's you guys. You're not smiling. And thus, Mawlana has been overtaken by fear. Mawlana is originally from Blackburn. I'm from Bradford. Whether you guys smile or not, I'm not going anywhere. But I just don't want you to scare Mawlana off, because this is going to last for a few hours. And we can't have our main guest and the main organizer disappearing. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ki o messenger of Allah, ayyu masjidin wudhiya fil ardi awwal, which was the first masjid that was built on this earth, on this land. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first masjid that was built on this land was Masjid al-Haram. I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma ayyam, after Masjid al-Haram, which was the masjid that was built? This time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, that the second masjid that was built on this land, on earth, was Masjid al-Aqsa. He says, I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kam baynahuma, what is the time period between the building of the first masjid and the building of the second masjid? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, 40 sana, 40 years. Thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wherever you are thereafter, pray as virtue is in this. Now when Adam alayhi salatu was salam was sent to the dunya, one of the most important things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam to do was to build two houses, two masjids, in which people can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two separate locations. One in the land of Arabia, in the city of Makkah. And the second in the land of Sham, in the city of Jerusalem. These were the locations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for two houses to be built in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be worshipped. It's very strange and surprising that of all the places in the world, these were the two locations that were chosen. Why? Because when we look at the locations that were chosen, they were places in which there was nothing. Makkah al-Mukarramah, the mountains had become black because of the intense heat of the sun. There are no trees in Makkah. There was no grass, no shrubs, nothing. Desert land, worth nothing. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that land for a masjid to be built in which Allah will be worshipped. Yet when we look at Makkah, nearby Makkah is the land of Taif. Very fertile land. Green, everything grows in Taif. But Allah chose Makkah. And if we look at Jerusalem, it was no different. At the time, located in mountainous, rocky region. Yet just like Taif, near Jerusalem, the land is beautiful, fertile. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Jerusalem. Out of all the places in the world, these were the locations that were chosen. Places which were worth nothing and which had nothing there. And maybe the choosing of these locations specifically where there was nothing was. Okay, when people travel hundreds of miles and come to these places to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be sincere in their worship. Why? Because there is no reason for them to go there other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer, then they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner as if they can see the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because there is nothing there that will take their attention away, and there is nothing there that will distract them from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah provides for them in these places where nothing grows, the faith and the iman of this believer will increase. And he will realize the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe this is why these locations were chosen by the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam came, and he first built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And after 40 years, as Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani relates in Fathul Bari, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam built Masjid al-Aqsa in the land of Jerusalem. When we look at the first house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Kaaba, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكٌ وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Millions and millions of people visit the Holy Kaaba. Every year, millions and millions of people go there. For those that have not been, they beg the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they pray. And they ask Allah, oh Allah, we beg you, take us to your house so that we can worship you. And for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, and they are the fortunate ones, and they have been to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they yearn and they pray and they desire to go again and again and again. This is the situation of the Holy Kaaba. But the second house of Allah that was made for Allah to be worshipped, tears flow from its eyes, and it asks Allah one question every day. Give Allah, why is it that these Muslims, these believers that believe in you, when it comes to the Holy Kaaba, oh Allah, tears flow from their eyes and they beg you to take them there. Oh Allah, they go in their millions. Oh Allah, the thought doesn't even cross their mind when it comes to me. And this is the question they ask Allah on a daily basis. And the reaction from the Muslims is one of death, dumb, and blind. I have come today to share with you two things. The story of this blessed land. This is one thing. And if time permits, the significance of this blessed land. Maybe then, hopefully, inshallah, we will realize the importance of this land as we have realized the importance of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And maybe then, we will make our way to this house of Allah in millions as we make our way to the Holy Kaaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, before he left this world, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the Muslims that the land of Jerusalem will be conquered. And that this blessed land once again will become the land of the believers. The believers in what Allah. The hadith recorded by Ahmad in his Musnad, Awf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i relates that I came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I greeted the Messenger of Allah, ki assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ki is it Awf? I responded, ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, it is Awf. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ki ya Awf, count six things that will happen before the final hour. As for the first of these six things, my death. Awf ibn Malik al-Ashji radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to cry. Tears began to flow from his eyes and he cried so much that he himself says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself began to silence me and tell me to be quiet. And he says, thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one after the other, made a mention of the six signs that were to take place before the final hour. And the second sign that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a mention of was the conquest of Baitul Maqdis. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself began to pave the way for the conquest of Jerusalem whilst he Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And he did this by first cleansing and purifying the land of Arabia from all impurities. And thus we find many a battle was fought. Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Hunayn, Makkah, Tabuk. And before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he sent an army under the charge of Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Darum, Balqa, Usdud and Yubna. The latter two are in Palestine. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, whilst he was alive, started paving for the conquest of Jerusalem. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the world. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes the leader of the Muslims. And in the 13th year of Hijrah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends an army to the land of Sham. And he splits this army into four, each unit in the charge of a very prominent and strong personality. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah to Hims. Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan to Damascus. Sharabil ibn Hasana to Jordan. And Amr ibn al-As to Palestine. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een make their way to the land of Sham. And one by one, the cities of Sham began to fall. Amr ibn al-As, who had been sent to Palestine, had conquered many a city in Palestine. Nablus, Amwas, Beit Jarin, Lod, where the international airport is today, by the time of Umar. And after conquering many a city in Jerusalem, in Palestine, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala thereafter made his way to Jerusalem. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, after conquering many a city in the land of Sham, he stayed in Damascus for a month. And after staying in Damascus for a month, he asked the Muslims where they should go next and what they should conquer. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed that the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should be consulted. They wrote to Umar. And Umar instructed that they should make their way to Jerusalem. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu read the letter of the Amir al-Mu'mineen to the Muslims, they expressed great joy and happiness that now they will conquer the land of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu called the Muslim generals Yazid, Khalid bin Walid, and he dispatched these units one by one to Jerusalem. Now when the Muslims came to Jerusalem, at the time, Jerusalem was in the hands of the Christians. I'm going to take you back now 2,000 years. Right to the year 70. And this is in accordance with the Christian calendar. In the year 70, a Roman called Titus, he ransacked Jerusalem. After Titus, in the year 135, again, Christian calendar, a man called Hadrian al-Rumani, when the Jews caused a problem in Jerusalem, he was the one that came and took care of the Jews and ransacked Jerusalem. And he made sure that Jerusalem was cleansed from all Jews. And he drove them out. And he did not let a single Jew live in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem. Now at the time, Christianity was not the official religion of the Roman Empire. Ibn Batriq says, this was the last time Jerusalem was ransacked. And the king ordered that the Jews be killed. And he didn't allow a single Jew to live in Jerusalem. Let us move on a few hundred years to the year 306. In 306, and you've heard of him, Constantine, became the Roman king. Constantine, at the beginning, used to worship idols. 6 years after he became king, the Christians say he saw something resembling a cross in the sky. And this is when he embraced Christianity. In the year 312. And because he was the king and he embraced Christianity, this is when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And it was the mother of Constantine, Helena, who came and built the church called Kanisatul Qiyamah in Jerusalem. This church is as sacred to the Christians as the Holy Kaaba is to the Muslims. She built a church there, this church where she built it, where the Christians believe Hazrat Isa والسلام, was buried before he was raised to the heavens. She came and she was the first to build a church there. She also built two other churches. She built the church in Bethlehem. She was the first to do this. This is where Hazrat Isa was born. And she also built a church where Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Hazrat Isa, lays buried. And it was his mother Helena who brought back the cross from Persia, which the Christians believe that it was on this cross Hazrat Isa was crucified. Jerusalem stayed in the hands of the Christians for the next 300 years. And in this period of 300 years, they only lost Jerusalem once. And even then, it was for a very short period of time. Only for 13 years. In the year 614, the Persians attacked the Christians in Jerusalem and they killed around 60,000 Christians. And the Persian flag was raised in Jerusalem. But the Oni were able to hold Jerusalem for 13 years. In the year 627, Heraclius, the Roman emperor, drove out the Persians. And again, the cross was raised. And if you look at the verse of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Romans being defeated. And then Allah talks about that in a very short time, these Romans that have been defeated, very soon, in a matter of few years, these Romans will be victorious. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about is what happened in the year 614 when the Romans lost Jerusalem for a period of 13 years and within a short time the Romans drove the Christians out. The Christians drove the Persians out. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this verse of Surah Al-Rum. Now, the Jews that sided with the Persians when the Persians took over Jerusalem, Heraclius promised the Jews that he will not do anything to them and he will set them free. However, when the Christians defeated the Persians due to the pressure of the church and the priests, many of the Jews were killed and they were killed in large numbers. And a few managed to escape in the neighboring countries, hiding in Egypt. Now, when the Muslims came, Jerusalem was in the hands of the Christians. And it was this Constantine, though Hadrian al-Rumani didn't allow a single Jew to live in Jerusalem, Constantine didn't allow them to live in Jerusalem. However, he allowed the Jews to visit Jerusalem only once a year. So when the Muslims came, Jerusalem was in Christian hands. This is one thing that I want you to bear. And the second thing that I want you to take note of is, in the last 2,000 years, the population of the Jews in Jerusalem has been next to nothing, has been insignificant. Right up to the year 1922, the population of the Jews in Jerusalem in the last 2,000 years has been next to nothing. I just mentioned now that in the year 135, Hadrian al-Rumani did not allow a single Jew to live in Jerusalem. In the year 306, Constantine, he didn't allow the Jews to live in Jerusalem, he allowed them a visit once a year. In the year 636, when the Muslims came, There was not a single Jew living in Jerusalem. We move on a few hundred years. And in the year 1170 to 71, in the tariq of Li'arif al-Arif, it is mentioned that there was only one Jew living in Jerusalem in the year 1170 to 71. Can you believe this? We moved 1,000 years, and in the year 1170 to 71, there was only one Jew living in Jerusalem. 100 years after, in the year 1267, there were only two families living in Jerusalem. Let us move another 300 years. In the year 1560, there was only 115 Jews living in Jerusalem. Let us move another 100 years. In the year 1670, there was only 150 Jews living in Jerusalem. Let us move another 200 years. And in the year 1845, in the whole of Palestine, there was only 12,000 Jews. Move another 100 years. In the years 1916 to 1918, in the whole of Palestine, there was 56,000 Jews. And in the year 1922, there was only 83,000 Jews in the whole of Palestine, and they made up 11% of the total population. Can you believe this? In the last 2,000 years, up to 1922, there was only 83,000 Jews, and that was 11% of the entire population of Palestine, 89% were Muslims. 1922 to 2005, 80 years. There's over 5 million. Overnight they have come. This is the second point that I want you to bear in mind. Now, Abu Ubaidah sent the generals with their units to Jerusalem. And the units began to come one by one. And the first to come was Khalid bin Walid. When he got to Jerusalem, he shouted, "Allahu Akbar." And the Muslims responded, "Allahu Akbar." This cry of "Allahu Akbar" startled the Christians inside. And they came, climbed the walls to look at who has come. And when they saw the Muslims, that their numbers are insignificant, they looked down upon the Muslims and they paid no attention. For 3 days, there was no attack. But again, the Christians belittled the Muslims so much that for 3 days, they did not even send a messenger to speak with the Muslims to ask them why they'd come. Yet inside themselves, they were fully prepared. They had their weapons, their armors, their walls were well guarded, their catapults were all in place. Ibn Najiyah al-Fazari says, out of all the cities that we conquered in Sham, we did not come across a people that were more well prepared than the people and inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he says, every city that we went to, when we got there, before we even got there, the people were overtaken by fear, except the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He says, for 3 days, they did not even speak to us. They did not even ask us as to why we have come. He says, on the 5th day, after Fajr prayer, Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan himself made his way to the walls of the city. And he took a translator with him. And he put the 3 options to them. The first, say, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And if you say this, then you are our brethren. We are equal. We have the same rights." The second option, if you do not want to say the "La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah," then make peace with us. Pay the tax and we will protect you as we protect our own.